Hello, and you're all very welcome. I sprang my mental health podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in. People don't really tune in anymore, do they? They're swiping right or swiping up, clicking the link, wherever you listen to your podcast. So yeah, thanks very much. It was a pleasant reaction to last week's episode, and got a couple of messages in saying he's loved it. And when this happens, I can barely remember what I spoke about half an hour ago. And it's like I get these messages. Oh, I love the podcast, really important content. I love this point that you made. And I'm there thinking, what in the name of Jesus did I talk about on the podcast last week? So I actually had to go back and check. I couldn't remember what I spoke about. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, or if it's not really in anything. I'm not quite sure. But I had to refer back and remind myself that I had spoke very very candidly about Christmas time, mental health, looking after yourself, and just the potential disruptors that can arise at quite a demanding time of year. And it seemed to reverberate closely to a lot of people's hearts. And again, it's just about openness. I think I spoke about the pressures of having to be happy, the pressure to sort of celebrate, to be in party humour. And I think a lot of time people will maybe just go along with that and make those statements, even though they could be hurting on the inside for whatever reason. So it's wonderful to get a little bit of openness on the subject. And again, just for me, and having referred that the last two Christmases for me were quite difficult, reading other people saying similar, or even heading into the week that's about to come with this year's Christmas festivities, people saying they're not really in the best of it. It's not nice to hear, but I suppose a positive of it is that you feel, alright, I'm not the only one, I'm not a Grinch. And that's one you'll often hear if someone just isn't quite in the humour in the office or in the club or at home. Ah, he's only a Grinch, this, that and the other. And look, some people are, some people just aren't into it, which is fair enough. But look, other people, I suppose what I'm trying to say is, if there's somebody around you that you're close to, whether it's your family, friend, someone in work, and they may seem a little bit off if it's a discussion around Christmas time, maybe just check in with them, because they could be going through a fucking shit time. And the old adage applies, you just don't know what's going on in people's lives, away from the desk, away from the car, away from the gym, whatever it may be. So just check in with your mates and just make sure everybody's all right. On a more positive note, I make it a positive note. It's quite a chaotic note. I made my way into town last week, last Saturday. So right, I'll get in, I'll get the Christmas presents sorted, I'll get everything boxed off, really organised. And I said, I'm just going to relax, go and enjoy my day, go at my own pace and take it in my stride. By Jesus, by 10 to 12 on Saturday morning, that was, I was steamrolled. I forgot the 8th of December, that day where they say everyone comes up from the country to do their shopping. I didn't know that was still a thing. I thought that was one of those urban myths. Like Michael Jackson or the Boogeyman. I didn't know it was still a thing. But Jesus Christ, by noon on Saturday, town was, it was bananas. It was absolute chaos. And as I said, I tried my best. I was just like, right, just relax, chill the fuck out here, just go at your own pace. But I did, I found myself, I could feel the heart rate rise and a little bit of sweat. And just started to feel a little bit uncomfortable in certain places I was working my way around. So I said, right, feck this. I'm not going to enjoy this. I'm not going to get anything done. And I made a mental retreat. I went over to, I kind of found myself wandering a couple of different side streets and that, just were a little bit quieter and wasn't as mad, and walked my way over to the back of Stephen's Green. Wonderful place called Axon's Coffee Shop, if you know it or not. It's really chilled out, really nice vibe in the place. A lot of students, people, you see a lot of people arriving with their laptops trying to get their work done. You get a lot of meeting groups there, guys into their comics, into writing, and you get a lot of tourists. It's just a really nice mix of people, and it's a really chilled out place to be. And I went there and had my book with me, and I ended up killing about an hour and a half just reading and having a coffee there, and it was great. It was just great to have a little bit of downtime. Just completely switched off. I was completely unaware as to what was going on around me, and it was just nice just to have that little bit of space. Whilst on the other side of the door, there was just madness ensuing. So, Axon's Coffee Shop at the back of Stephen's Green there, deadly little spot. And first month of every month, that doesn't make sense. The first Sunday of every month, they do a spoken word and a poetry night downstairs, and it is quality. I've been to one or two of them just as as a guest, as just as a spectator, I suppose, just to go and have a look. And it's quality again, just really chilled out, really good mix of people. And it's one of the things on my list is to go and actually put my name down and read some of my writing, spoken word, some poetry, and just to put it out there and see if people appreciate it, and hopefully it'll put a smile on somebody's face. So that's on my list over the next couple of months, is to put my name down for that and go back and do it. So yeah, all good. So got a bit of shopping done, picked up a few bits, and cut me losses straight to the Savoy, 2:30 Saturday afternoon, Creed 2. What a time to be alive, people. What a time to be alive. And I thought, as I'm nipping in here Saturday afternoon, the place will be empty, everyone's out shopping. I was in the bloody front row. I felt like I was in the boxing ring. The place was packed. So, yeah, it was great. Reliving my childhood. Rocky IV, one of my favourite movies of all time. It's just a big lump of cheese, and I fucking love it. Switch off, don't have to think about it. There's nothing heavy about it. It's just a fucking great film. It's the Cold War in Hollywood form, with the greatest sentence in film of all time. Suddenly Moscow is pro Rocky. Marvellous. So yeah, Creed 2, Drago's son and Apollo Creed's son taken to the ring. It's fucking spectacular. It's everything you'd expect it to be. What I love about these type of films, and I can usually be a bit of a pretentious git when it comes to art and film, and go looking for the hidden meaning behind everything. But with this, it was just go in and enjoy the film. It is what it is. But Jesus, beautifully shot, very well scripted, a fine production, if I do say so myself. Cracking soundtrack too. Bit of G-Unit, 50 Cent, all good. But yeah, look, it's your token Hollywood film, The Hero's Journey. His rise to the top, you know, there's a disruptor thrown in there. He finds himself losing his control of emotions. He finds himself angry, which results in a loss. Finds himself as a result of a personal struggle, which is the relationship that he has with Rocky, who was his uncle, essentially. And the relationship he has with his fiance, and they find out they're pregnant, and his life is suddenly falling apart. And, of course, he... through his loss and through his suffering, he rediscovers his values and his virtues in life, which allows him to refocus, work hard, find a way over the mountain, and despite the occasional bruise or two, go on and succeed and live happily ever after. Any film you've ever watched ever in your life has followed that story. You don't believe me? Put it to the test. That's The Hero's Journey, Joseph Campbell. That's how stories work. Really lightly describe you. It obviously goes into a little bit more detail than that, but that's what it is. So, yeah, Creed 2 was wonderful. Really enjoyed it. Just switched off. So that was the guts of about 3 or 4 hours I spent in town doing fuck all as to what I actually went in to do. But I did pick up a couple of presents. And that was that. But this is, I'm sure everyone will agree with this. a couple of rows back in the cinema, two people having a row, like through the entirety of the film. The fight they were having was almost as good as the feckin' fights you were watching in the film. But I was thinking about it. I was like, this went on and on and on, and nobody said anything to them. And that got me thinking as to, I was like, are people, and I was including myself in this, are people just afraid to actually address this, that we've paid the guts of fucking 15 quid to come and watch a film and yous are ruining it for everybody, but I'm afraid to say something in case it results in physical violence or an altercation that I'm not comfortable with. But nobody, like in the cinema, I don't know how many were there, maybe 100 people. I don't know what a cinema theatre holds, but nobody said anything. And this was right through the film. It was a guy and a girl. It got pretty nasty. The language out of them and the profanities were disgraceful. And that's coming from me. If you listen to this podcast quite regularly, you'll know that my language is appalling. But the guy, he got up and left. Then came back to continue the row. Then he left and came back to continue a row. And she was giving out to him that he'd missed all the film. It was a fucking very peculiar arrangement. But I just found it really interesting that nobody, including myself, challenged him on it. So I think there was a feeling of threat as to what type of people they may have been. Or maybe people are just so wrapped up in the entertainment value of the film they didn't really notice. I don't know. Maybe it was just me. But yeah, I fucking hate that shit in the cinema. Does me head in. For me, the cinema is great. You just go, your phone's off, you're there, you're in the moment, there's no other distraction, you're just clued into the film, which hopefully is entertaining and has a little bit of value in its production and in its story. And it's a wonderful distraction from anything you're going through in life. Just switching off from work, switching off from family, from kids, whatever it is. I fucking love the cinema, but I hate when that shit goes on. It's not pleasant. 12 minutes of Christmas shopping in the cinema. It was not the essence of what I wanted to discuss in this week's podcast. I've been taking a bit of time to, I've been looking back, I'm kind of reflecting back over the year, over the last couple of months, in terms of my own emotional progression, my own growth over the course of the year. And it's been quite remarkable for me in that, and I possibly have mentioned this, I can't remember if I mentioned this in a podcast or in a post or wrote about it or otherwise, but just, it's where my head is at. I'm looking back over 12 months, over the course of a calendar year, for the first time in a long time, without any kind of regret or any kind of anger towards what I've done, or any kind of self-loathing as to decisions I've made. It's been a really, really positive year, not without its slip-ups, not without its knockbacks, and I've had some really difficult days and weeks throughout the year. And that's okay because I'm a fucking human, but in the main, overall, it's been quite exceptional, and I just really do feel with the effort and the effort I've put in training my mind, progressing my mind with the tools and techniques that I need to keep myself right mentally, I feel they're starting to come into fruition, and I feel a lot more clarity, a lot more self-awareness, and just a little bit more confidence in who I am as a person as a result of what I've done throughout 2018. And it feels fucking great. And I'm not saying that so people can look and say, oh, Jesus, that's great for you, Dave, fair play, but I'm still fucking miserable. I'm saying that from a point that having been at the lowest ebb twice, where I had no fucking future and I just wanted to die, and I'd lost faith in people, I'd lost faith in living and everything I hold dear in terms of my hobbies, in terms of my interests, in terms of my friends and family, I fucking gave up. But I just made that commitment to just slowly, slowly, slowly just build up that resilience, build up that understanding of my mind, and just put myself in a place that I was comfortable in dealing with it. And look, it's a constant process. It never ends. I could be back at a really shitty point. I could be back there in an hour. That's how fucking difficult it can be. But I just feel I've made progression. and I'm comfortable where I'm at in life. And my point to that is, everybody can do it. And please, if you're feeling shit, something has you down, there is a way. I don't know what that way is for you, because everybody's different, individuality is so important, but there's a way to find out, way to discover what works for you and how to bring yourself further down the road in terms of emotional clarity. And if there's anything I can do to help anybody with that, please drop me a message. I don't like the idea of people just suffering in fucking silence, without doing anything either for themselves or just opening up to somebody that they do trust. And I know it's not easy, but that's where I'm at. So I kind of, in a humorous reference, I was talking to a friend the other day about it, and I kind of saying, like, look, my mental health success in 2018, I said it's like that time Leicester won the league and won the Premier League a few years ago. And he was kind of laughing. He was like, well, what the fuck do you mean by that? I said, well, it was probably unexpected, number one. I said, number two, I said, I have a tight budget. I have a tight team around me. I said, good fucking man management on myself. I said, I've had a couple of slip-ups. I said, but a really big thing, I said, with everything I've done, I said, I just kind of felt like the entire fucking world was behind me this year. I mean that in terms, I go back to the marathons, the challenge. Jesus Christ, the support from people was just phenomenal. It really was. And that galvanised me. That just garnished something inside me that I don't think I've ever had before. And it's played a really, really big part in my emotional growth. Leicester City, here I am, fucking Jamie Vardy. Ridiculous metaphor, but it gave me a laugh, and it did give me quite a simple way to sort of explain where I'm at. What else is going on? This is a real makey-up episode. I didn't really have anything planned, but to finish off, the Life Skills Programme, I've been working my way through explaining that as the weeks have gone on. It came to its conclusion this week, last night, Wednesday night, after 6 weeks, and I feel illuminated. It was simple but effective, and yeah, I really enjoyed it. Again, if you've listened to previous episodes, I just made it a really, really positive routine part of my week, and I stuck to my word. I walked in and I walked home to Angel Street every week for 6 weeks. So the first positive is there's 12 hours of walking that I did, which was wonderful. Gave me an opportunity to listen to a couple of podcasts and some good tunes. I was lucky the weather was decent. Aside from last night, I was testing nature last night. I took a chance. I one rain jacket, cotton bottoms, and one of those sort of netty pair of Adidas runners that had the struck with a bit of rain. I was destroyed, but it managed to hold off. There was plenty of wind. I got blown home, but I didn't get drowned. So yeah, 12 hours of walking. It was fucking marvellous. But week 6, it had been heavy enough. Week 5 was very personal. It was heavy in detail, and I expected the same last night, but I was wrong. It was actually quite relaxed. There was a little bit of detail on anger management, and just a little bit of a focus on asking about what irritates us as people, like really what gets us going. And again, for a lot of people, anger management was a really big thing. And it was something I spoke to one person in the group. They were sort of saying it was something they hoped would have come up earlier in a little bit more detail. For me, I'm okay with it. I'm not. No, anger management isn't a big thing for me. I'm not the type that will get ferocious in in portraying myself in angry fashion. There's people who know me probably listen to this saying, you fucking lying bastard, I've seen you. But no, I'm not. I'm far from the Incredible Hulk. I do rant. I tend to get a bit ranty, and yeah, I get these irritable spasms where I just start ranting about anything and everything, and it's probably more humorous. If you came across me mid-rant, it would humour you. You'd probably take pity on me and make a fucking donation or something. It's inanimate objects irritate the fuck out of me. I'm a child of the 90s. when I was young, you plugged something in, hit the power button, and it worked. See, casting and streaming and all this, I'm sounding like another, just me and technology just don't get on. I'm really, really behind in terms of technology. I need to upskill, because most likely at some point in my life, I'm going to have to get a job that is based around modern technology and fucking apps and shit that's quite relevant in the everyday world, business and commercial and otherwise. But yeah, I'm really, really bad. Operating this phone is about as technical as it gets. I'm actually quite amazed at myself. I have the capability of putting this podcast together. But yeah, I'd be the type that would blame the fucking remote control on all of the world's problems. And yeah, I get a bit emotional. But yeah, I just get ranty. I'm not big on anger, but I think the essence of what was being highlighted last night was just really getting in to take control of when you feel that trigger of getting irritable. Very similar to what I've discussed in the previous episodes of the content I've covered. So, I mean, little everyday situations where you might find yourself, if you're stuck in traffic, you find yourself getting irritated. You're in the queue in a bank, you're getting irritated. You can't find your phone. Someone's been rude to you. Everyday scenarios you'll find yourself in that you start to get that little bit irritated. So for me, yeah, I spend a lot of time on the road with work. And yeah, I spend a lot of time on the M50 in the mornings, which I wouldn't consider myself very patient, but you need to have a serious degree of patience to handle the M50 of a weekday morning. It's absolutely chronic. Again, I think I raised this last week, but it is, and it's just an example relative to this and what I'm talking about. But the way I manage it is, it's number one, it's, look, I have to do it. I have to get to work. It's grand. I can't possibly go any earlier or I'll beat the fucking milkman. And I look at it as an opportunity to, number one, just gather my thoughts for the day ahead. Nothing really deep. Just a little bit of a think tank and what's going on in my head. It's an opportunity to listen to a podcast. I have a couple of favourite podcasts. Impact Theory, by the way. Magnificent podcast. Tom Bilyeu, I think is the guy's name, founded the Quest Nutrition Bar. Or Quest Nutrition, it was more than just a bar. Quest Nutrition supplements, etc. I don't take them, I've never used them, I'm not plugging them or anything, but just comes across as a really decent guy, has some good guests on, he does a good Q&A section, he does a good section with his wife and relationships, and they're only 40 minutes long, so you could last through a couple of them from A to B right throughout the day. Yeah, and then also just some good music. So yeah, that's the opportunity I see in being stuck in traffic rather than, you know, tutting and sighing and everything else. And just a couple of deep breaths and just see myself through it. And that's where I'm at with traffic. There's no point in losing my shit. It will get me nowhere. So yeah, look, there, next time you're in that situation, whether it's traffic or stuck in a queue or waiting for a bus, yeah, look, I'll challenge you. Just, what are you thinking? Are you losing your shit? And if you are, why? Is it helping the situation? Can you pause, take a deep breath and think of something else? Yeah, real simple advice. So, yeah, that was the basis of the final, I don't want to call it a lecture, the final discussion on the Life Skills Programme for week 6. And other than that, it was pretty light. We shared a couple of sweets for Christmas. It was the first time where we really got to mix and chat to a couple of other people who we maybe hadn't spoken to throughout the course. And I was lucky, I spoke to a couple of people over the course of the few weeks. Even after just walking back, people were heading back towards town or whatever. But I got to speak to people. And again, everyone has a story. And you'll always learn, everybody has a story. Everybody has something that they're dealing with. And that's what you got. But what I loved about it, 6 weeks into something like a life skills program, where people are trying to channel the thought process with the difficulties that they're having in life, it was a really relaxed conversation about, look, this is where I'm at the moment in my life. This is why I've done this course. And here's how I hope it'll help me. And there was no judgment for anyone. It was fucking great. And I think more discussions like that would really go a long way. There was a fantastic mix of people of different ages, different backgrounds, different jobs, different sports. it was really wonderful. And again, just from talking to different people, you learn some really interesting things about people and what people do in their day. It was great. So the concluding advice on the programme, look, it was just really simple steps you can take to make yourself happy in the moment. Like 10 things you can do. Really simple stuff. I mean, one of them was eat a banana, which essentially, yeah, that gave the class a laugh. So I suppose, yeah, it made people happy. Eating a good breakfast, getting out for a walk, meeting a friend for coffee. Really, really simple things. You know, whether that has substance or not is a personal choice. I can't remember all 10, but I remember looking at all 10 and I was like, I think I do every one of them. I think there's no absolute conclusion for a course like that because the process is ongoing. And I think, look, the 10 steps at the end are just maybe to give people a starter to kind of help them. I suppose to help with the ending of the structure of a meeting place after 6 weeks, if you can go on then to, here's your starting point, just to help you with the process of implementing CBT into your life, you know, so be it. This may give you that platform to bring yourself forward and taking control of your thoughts and emotions, which is fine. There was no badness in the 10 steps. I just maybe felt it was something I was a bit beyond, and I don't mean I was better than that, I just mean it's something I'd probably practiced previous, and I've maybe advanced beyond eating a fucking banana in the morning to make my life better. But look, they were all good, they were all very positive, all very simple, and I have absolutely no doubt that those 10 steps will help somebody that was in the classroom. But look, it's an ongoing process, it never fucking ends, and as I said, there's no concluding act. It was just capping. What it did was it capped off the very principle of the programme in encouraging action and control in your emotions and in your thought process and taking control of your emotions. So yeah, look, it helped. It's culminated with a lot of positive shit that's gone on in my life over the last couple of weeks. The main thing is just the inventiveness through creativity and writing that I've just made that decision. To put my focus into that area, into writing, into creativity as a means of bettering and maintaining positive mental health. I've said it before, I know if I commit to stuff like that, that just gives me that feeling, deep work, where I feel I'm just making a little bit of progress and putting a talent and a hobby to use. I feel better in myself rather than not doing it and spending fucking an hour and a half just scrolling through shite. I'm wasting time basically that isn't productive. So I've really made a conscious effort to do that over the last couple of weeks. So what I've done, and this is really cool, I've started to collate all the blogs and all the poetry and all the essays that I've written in the last couple of years, and I've made a decision to put a bit of structure on them. And I don't want to make this big announcement, oh, I'm writing a book, because I don't want to add that pressure. But what I'm doing is I'm putting a structure on everything that I've written, and my approach to this is when I sit down at night, it's usually about 8:30, I walk for about an hour and a half to 2 hours, and it's just right, take the next 500 words and put them together the way you want them to be put together. So 500 words, put them together the way I want them put together, really finely edited and scripted and put together in a way that I feel good about myself for writing it. Not thinking, what will an editor want to read? I'm doing it for myself and I'm fucking enjoying it. It's great. I'm really buzzing about it. And it's just really tying in well to the layout of my day at the moment. Like, look, I don't have this really awe-inspiring morning routine that would inspire you to go and fucking win a war. I get up in around 7:15, I have my breakfast and I go to work. I finish work, I go to the gym or I go for a run. I get home and I relax, have my dinner, relax with Jace, a fucking 2-year-old tornado. Relax is probably the wrong word, but I'm at home, I relax with Jace, and at around 8:30, as I said, I just say, right, an hour and a half, let's walk my way through these 500 words. And what happens though, I get so excited and immersed in it, my head does be spinning afterwards. So I generally have to go for a walk, then just come in and kind of relax and read a book maybe for half an hour, because my head does be wired. And I think looking at a big feckin' screen with Microsoft Word, which is a white background, there's a lot of blue light there that's probably stinging my eyes and stinging my brain late in the day, and I wouldn't be used to sitting at a laptop for such a long space of time. In fact, fucking rarely. But as I said, I'm just gonna have to fine-tune the aftermath of that process to make sure I'm winding down properly, because I just, there's a couple of nights I haven't, it's taken me ages to go to sleep afterwards, so I need to tidy that up a bit. Otherwise that creative process is going to be detrimental to my fucking energy levels and my overall health. Actually, Jesus, on that, what night was it? Tuesday night. No one in the house. I had a shit sleep. One of Jace's toys that makes music went off at about 3 a.m. down the stairs, and I could hear it from upstairs. Oh my God. Oh, that was it. I was fucking wide awake. I was like, Jesus Christ. It just, you start thinking all sorts. And like two twin sisters with long black hair over their face in one of those communion dresses from a fucking horror movie, staring up at you. Come play with us. Ugh. Anyway, yeah, that freaked me the fuck out at 3 a.m. And then, just as I was drifting back off, probably about 3 hours later, my fucking phone rang. And I was like, what the fuck? Now, normally, religiously, in accepting for this night, I put my phone on silent at night. So yeah, God forbid, if you've ever been murdered or attacked in the middle of the night, please don't ring me. I'll be of zero help to you. I won't answer the phone because I won't hear it. But this particular night, I think I left it on vibrate, so the phone rang, and it was one of them, you know, the mad Indian numbers or wherever they're from, looking for me bank account details. I was like, you fucking bastards. Just so yeah, Tuesday night, shite sleep was bollocks of a Wednesday. So yeah, I'm catching up in my sleep the last couple of nights. But sure, there you have it. Where did that come from? I'm not too sure what my point of all of that was. Oh, I do, yeah, sorry, just tidying up the routine after I do the writing, just so I'm a little bit calmer going to bed. Because I get excited, and this is what happens, and I suppressed this for such a long time. I was always afraid to tell people that I loved writing and I loved doing poetry and spoken word pieces, because I thought I'd be slagged and people would think I was an idiot and a big geek and a nerd and all this type of stuff. But I'm really learning to embrace it, and the last couple of years I've put some stuff out there. I've shared some of the stuff I've written with people. I've shared it online on a blog. I've had a couple of pieces on joe.ie, would you believe. I wrote a spoken word piece about Conor McGregor coming up to one of his big fights, and yeah, it went fucking viral on Joe, which was deadly, and they started making the shout to have it included on the Leaving Cert syllabus, which caused all sorts of shit. People weren't happy with that, but yeah, it was deadly. Had a really good reaction, and McGregor saw it and he liked it. He liked it on Twitter. He hit the like button. And his coach, John Kavanagh, replied to it. He read it and replied and said, he tweeted, not bad. So for all my efforts, John Kavanagh gave me a not bad. It's like one of them, remember your school reports when you were younger. David is doing well, but must try harder. So, yeah. But again, look, I just put it out there. It was a lovely reaction, but I was very happy with the piece. I was very happy with the poem that I wrote. I might... Fuck it, I'll read that out. I do want to do that as a podcast. Just do a couple of episodes that are just solely a couple of spoken word pieces put together. I will read that out. Right, I'll pop this up because it's on my blog page, which is still active. Which looks like a... my blog page, my God. It looks like a... not like a 4-year transition year project just strung together over the course of 2 hours, because you realised it was due in the morning. There wasn't much on this. It was just text, no pictures, no change of font. Everything just looked the same. But I didn't really care. It was just about the writing and gave me an opportunity to put stuff out there. I'll read two pieces. I'm going to read two pieces. I'll read the McGregor piece, and I'll read the poetic monologue, I Sprain My Mental Health, in which this podcast is named after. And I think I'll leave it at that then, because this is very ranty. But yeah, the piece I wrote, have it there. The piece I wrote, McGregor. Oh my God, it was written in 2014. Jesus Christ, I actually wrote it Christmas week in 2014. 4 years ago, fuck me. Anywho, I do remember when I wrote this. Someone got me, do you remember McGregor had a, there was a documentary came out about him, one of the original ones. I think someone bought it for me for Christmas. And on Christmas night, I was on my own. It was one of the Christmases that I had a shit Christmas and I wanted to be on my own. And I put this on. And I just want to give an idea of what inspires me and how I get ideas for writing stuff. As I was watching this, words started coming to me. It just started coming to me as I was watching it. I was like, okay, because you know, the positive side of McGregor is what he does is almost an art form. And I started to think of it as an art form, and the description of an art form, and this is kind of how it came to me. So, yeah, fuck it. I'll read it out. And if you like it, great. And if you don't, well, it's grand. You'll never have to hear it ever again. But here it is. I wrote this about Conor McGregor. It's called The Warrior Awaits. A shadow cast on eight, the size of test and tradition, a warrior awaits. Darkness strobes, music and noise, the change in tune, the tact and tone, always calm. Emerging in strides, superior and significant, bare-skinned, bearded, braided and born. Tattooed and untainted, capped and comfortable, a celebration of confidence and indulgence and honour. A right hand raised, an emblem to roars, the approval all round answers acceptance to accolades. The face of focus, fueled ferocious and physical, relaxed and relishing raucousness, a revelling renewed in expected conquest. Surrounded by stalwarts, saluting strength in their standing, the goal always glorious, the going a grateful gift. A fighter famed on feeding fiercely on the fallow, a freak of fearlessness inside the fence. The pride pronounced previous to participation, a publicity and positivity and persistence, a prize proudly personal and a promise to his own person. Bold and brash, a champion challenging collective conclusions of characters contained. The tribal triggering, tastefully targeting those testing the temperament. Trials always trumpeted, a top flight performer present not to take part but only to take over. Inspiring, the self-respected ruthlessness that raises rancor, rushing relentlessly in triumph, an Irish artist, flawless, fine-tuned and firm, sweating in supremacy, selfishly succumbing to the stalks of success, second to none in notions that nurture the needs of a nation, no-nonsense negotiations, I will win. The calculated carnage, the bellows of belief, the narrow aisles, the path to righteous inevitability. A warrior awaits, but not in the shadows. The beaming light with eight sides around him, ready, zealous, and namely notorious. And there you have it. A warrior awaits, Conor McGregor. A lot of alliteration gone in there. A lot of phrase rhyming. I spoke about hip hop a few weeks ago. Have you an idea of my influences if you're listening to that? Yeah, let us know what you think of that. If you think it's absolute bollocks, let us know. But I really enjoyed writing it. I get a buzz from writing stuff like that. I love spoken word and poetry of that ilk. So I hope you enjoyed it. And go back to the first page here. So I Sprain My Mental Health. I wrote it in July 2016. I thought it was actually further back than that. I think I did write it further back than that. I maybe only printed it or published it on the blog. But anyhow, I Sprained My Mental Health. I recently sprained my mental health. Twisted it badly. I'm on crutches for a couple of weeks. Possibly longer. What happened, they said. Happened out of nowhere. I was driving home one day, pulled into the driveway, and then bang. It just went under. It went from under me. I managed to get inside and sit down and have a look. It was swollen and ugly, bruised and delicate. The slightest touch and slightest movement just too much to handle, and I was worried it might cause more damage. It doesn't look too bad, they said. Most of the strain can't be seen. The damage is on the inside, and it's very slow to recover. There's a couple of exercises you can do to help, they said. They do help. But once I stop, I can feel the pain again, and it gets worse as the day goes by. By night time, I'm curled up in agony and I struggle to sleep with it. I was told to wrap a bandage around it for support if I'm going out. That will keep it stable and no one will notice. I leave the crutches at home too and try not to hobble because I don't want to bring any attention to myself. I hope it will get better soon. I want to get back to things properly, but it seems to be getting worse. I'm reading loads of stuff about how to make it better and ask a couple of people for advice. Have you talked to anyone? They said. Well, I'm talking to you. The swelling isn't going down, so I'm keep taking painkillers, which stops the ache, but only for a while. It's gotten so bad now I haven't gone to work. The lads have been on to me about playing football here. I can't play, I'm injured. You'll be grand, sure, you'll run it off. I went for a scan. There's nothing broken, they said. It's getting worse now. Can't move at all. And I'm uncomfortable all over. The pain is on my face and I'm complaining all the time, telling everybody and hobbling around. Does he ever stop, they say. There's nothing wrong with him. I'm ashamed now. I'm embarrassed. I can't handle the pain. I'm weak. I'm not going to work, not going to football. I'm going nowhere because the person who is going nowhere will always get there. The swelling is going down, but there's plenty of marks and scars and I'm left with a limp. What happened, they say. So that was explaining my mental health. I suppose just a toy with how we compare physical illness and physical injury with mental illness and mental injury. And as I said, that had a wonderful reaction when it was put out. And I think people just got it with the name, a sprain in mental health, which is something I've kind of kept and rehashed at any opportunity, including the name of this podcast. So there's a couple of things that I've written. If you're enjoying that, let us know and I'll share some more stuff. And if not, I'll stick to just ranting about cinemas and coffee shops and being stuck in traffic, the mundane ways of life. That's it. Had no real plan, but I'm after getting through 40 minutes. So, yeah, listen, nice one. Thanks very much. And have a good weekend. Performance_DocDOC on Instagram. Give us a follow. Do subscribe. Share the podcast. Share some feedback. Send in your questions, get involved, and I hope you're enjoying it. Thanks very much for listening. And yes, there will be a podcast next week, a fucking Christmas special, which probably have no mention of Christmas. But yeah, it's Christmas week and all that, but there'll still be a podcast next Friday as normal. Thanks very much for listening for the 500th time, and enjoy the weekend. Take care.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.